This episode of the Startup Slingshot is brought to you by Sunag Consulting. Sunag Consulting offers services to help your business compete and succeed in today's marketplace, including website design and online marketing. You can check them out at sunagconsulting.com or contact them by phone at 615-669-3269. For all the loyal TSS viewers out there, Sunag Consulting has put together a PDF of 20 things you can do today to improve your Facebook fan page. To snag a copy, click the Sunag logo to the right of the video. Now onto the show. My name is William Griggs, founder of the Startup Slingshot, a resource that delivers guidance from experienced entrepreneurs and business experts on how you can dream, launch, and grow your business. Have you ever wondered how a business goes from two people in a classroom to a projected $2 million in revenue? Today's guest is Jake Jorgevin. Jake is the CEO and co-founder of Rabbit Hole Creative, a video mapping and custom content startup whose clients include Cirque du Soleil and CeeLo Green. Today, I'm going to talk with Jake about the tactics he used to get his business off the ground in hopes of demystifying the process for you and giving you essential and actionable information you can take back into your business. Enjoy. All right, Jake, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell our viewers a little bit about your background.
Well, I started this company, Rabbit Hole Creative, about 2.5 years ago. So we've been going on there, and it started it up while I was a student at Belmont University in school. Was a sophomore in college when I started it all, and gathered a few talented people around us, and started getting the whole company going. And by the time we graduated, which was this past May, May of 2011, we had pretty much had the company going to where it employed four of us full time, and now we have a fifth person on board full time with us, and looking at probably adding another person or two here in the near future.
Nice, nice. So the goal of this interview, we talked a little bit about it before we started recording, is to kind of demystify the process. So to begin, for our viewers, we're going to get an overview of Jake's business, and then we're going to kind of take a step back and go back to the very beginning and discuss how he went from an idea to an actual business with five, almost six, or soon to be 30,000 full-time employees. So Jake, tell us a little bit more about what your company does.
Well, right now, basically, we are really focused around event production for basically video design for large events, whether that be a tour or a corporate event. That's one of our big revenue streams. So whenever you think of you go out to a concert and they have big LED walls or video projectors on the stage, basically we'll design those layouts and create the custom video content for the stages. Another big revenue stream for us is kind of an outdoor advertising or really non-traditional or interactive advertising. So if you've ever seen a projection mapping where they have video projected on the side of a building, large scale advertising like that, or doing interactive storefronts for window displays, that's a whole nother revenue stream for us as well. So pretty much anything that's non-traditional video that kind of incorporates live technology with traditional video, that's what we do.
Gotcha. So you talked about first the video production for live events. Like we could be at a concert, they could have some crazy video effects going on. We would look at it. Typical person would look at it and say, heck, that is awesome. You would actually look at it and be like, this is how you design it. This is how we make it. So that's really interesting. Something that our viewers can actually look to when they get or go to their next concert, they can actually say, oh, somebody actually makes that. Oh, it could be Jake. So what, yeah. And then in addition to that, you talked about outdoor advertising and some unique promotions outside of buildings or what have you. How do y'all actually charge for your services?
Very much it's generally a project-by-project basis. Generally with any project we go into, there is a base consulting fee for any project that we work on. So that's just for figuring out the whole integration of all the technology, doing the project management, and just getting the base established. And then after that is kind of based upon the content that's going into it, how long it's going to take us to do, whether it's, 3 minutes of content or 45 minutes of content. It's all kind of, that's all the pricing is dependent on how much of the volume we're actually doing and how complex the project is.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And I guess that's partly because you've learned through your time that on-ramp to actually getting to the part where you're actually making the video displays is actually a significant time
suck.
It's
one of the more complex parts. So we realized we had to start charging for that as well, more than just the content, because figuring out how to get the content up on the screens was a process in and of itself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's something that our viewers can learn from if they're doing a similar service, whether it's website development or any type of service. Really, there's that on-ramp of bringing
a customer up to speed and getting up to speed with what they're doing, whether it's understanding what their business is all about or customers, that you're gonna have to find some way to build that into your price, because it is gonna take away from the time that you would have to do other work for other clients.
Yeah, and the thing is, you just have to be very upfront with the customers on the front end and explain that you're going to charge for that that service, and they have to. And most of the time, they'll be understanding of that. So, because they value that what you're doing is you understand something technically, and you're putting the time into figuring out how to pull that off. So generally, they're pretty understanding of it.
Gotcha, that makes a lot of sense. So before we take a step back to the beginning of your journey, give our viewers out there some clients that you work with to help establish the credibility so they know, heck, this guy knows what he's talking about, or at least appears to know what he's talking about, and so we can listen on to the rest of the episode.
Some of the clients we've worked with in the past, we did CeeLo Green's tour this summer. We also did Dolly Parton's tour went out this summer. We did all the content design on that. We did Cirque du Soleil. We did a project with them this past summer. We've designed Paramore's tour, which was last summer. And we're right now tonight. Actually, we just did the content design for Charity Ball, which is for Charity Water, which is a big nonprofit that they're holding their annual event up in New York. So, yeah, those are some of the clients we've worked with in the past.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive list. All right, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay.
Where did the idea come from? Like I said earlier, when I go to the concert, I see that. I think that's cool. I don't think I'm going to start a business that does that. I don't even think anybody does that. I just think that's cool. Where does the idea for Rabbit Hole Creative and the services y'all offer come from?
So it didn't quite start off like that. The company has evolved quite a bit over several years. So we've been, I guess, to kind of give you our backstory. We're 2.5 years old as the company we are today. But I technically started this company when I was 15 years old as a recording studio in my basement. It was called Rabbit Hole Recording back then, and I was just recording some pretty terrible punk rock bands at the time, and some of those screamo hardcore metal bands. And this was back in St. Louis. So I started it then, and I named it Rabbit Hole with the idea of the metaphor of, diving in the unknown and chasing your dreams and seeing where it's going to take me. So, it led to me going to Belmont here in Nashville for audio engineering and entrepreneurship. And I basically kept kind of pursuing it. And then somewhere around my sophomore year, decided to launch it as a legitimate company. I started off as doing live concert recording. So I was going out trying to do live albums. And eventually met my business partner now, who decided he was going to bring the video aspect to, and we were going to do live multicam concert shoots. So we started doing that, and we started doing where we actually started to getting our base money. And the reason why we never had to take funding is we realized that at Belmont you have all these kids who are graduating from the music program, and so they just spend $100,000 on to go to school at Belmont. And so they have this one final senior recital performance of that's the culmination of all their 4 years of education. We realized that their parents were probably willing to pay, quite a bit of money to get that a good recording of that. And so we started just kind of marketing to them, and got to the point where we pretty much had, I'd say, probably 50% of all the graduating seniors were kind of coming through us to do this. And so that got us some cash in the door pretty quickly, and then we started going off and doing concert shoots for artists out in the industry. We were doing that for a while, and all that kind of eventually led to meeting one connection, a guy named Ken Gay, who is now kind of been a mentor of mine and one of my biggest clients at the same time. And he brought us on for Paramore's tour and got us on that first job in the door. And he brought us on for CeeLo and Dolly as well. And so having him kind of bring us on board there, we realized that the touring industry, there was a bigger opportunity there. If we stuck just to doing multicam concert shoots, there was a ceiling that we were going to hit as to what we could really be done there, and it wasn't as much of a creative outlet. And we eventually realized that, I'd had a background in doing some live event production as well, and so did my business partner. And we realized that there was a really big opportunity in combining video animation and editing and all that, combined with incorporating that into live events. And so just over the past, couple of years, we've kind of slowly evolved and evolved, and now I just realize that, this cross between live technology and post-production and animation is really where our value proposition lies.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So to kind of recap what you said, and it aligns so closely with a guy we had on a couple of days ago, Chris Heffley of LeanKit, which was He just started. He had a job, but he just started. And it seems like that's the same type of thing here. You started with recording bands in your basement in, did you say St. Louis? In St. Louis, and then you just kind of kept trying, kept iterating, kept looking for the next thing that you enjoyed, and just kind of it works out. So it's one of those interesting things to all the viewers out there. It's, most there are people out there that like to either plan, and then launch, and then there are people that like to just jump in and head first. Seems like you maybe subscribe to part of each because you do seem to have a plan, but it seems like it all started with just jumping in. It seemed like not even like in a risky way. It's just starting. It's starting with what you liked and what you found interesting. Is there anything else our viewers can kind of take away with regards to, where the idea came from
I
or the
think I mean
journey?
it was a lot of trial and error. We tried a bit of everything. I mean, even prior to starting this, as it was, I tried to do, some booking companies. I tried to do promotions. I tried a little bit of everything. And I think it's just kind of trying everything, figuring out what you're good at, and then what actually sticks and you can make money with. And I mean, for us, I realized that, we realized that it was in production, and we went through different areas of production, of doing multicam stuff, from trying to do music videos to everything. And I mean, it's just kind of figuring out what sticks and where there's suddenly you figure out where you stand out to where there's not as much competition, and you kind of sit in this part where you have some value and something that other people aren't offering.
Gotcha.
And once we found that, that's when we knew we were on track to something good.
One interesting thing that kind of looking at your story so far is you obviously really like music and you really like technology. So it seems like you hopped into that realm because you're passionate about it. And then you just kind of bounced your way around until you found, like you're saying, something that stuck, something that you found you provided value, something that people were willing to pay you for. And you had a flow of customers or a flow of or a market that was actually there that you could tap into for additional customers.
Yeah, for me, it kind of, I guess, a large part of my passion, kind of what's really driven me my whole life, is just the idea of media creation, and the fact that as one person or a small team of people, you can create a message that's distributed to hundreds and thousands and millions of people. That's been my passion, and I realized that at a very young age, and what I've just constantly been driven to try to do, just try to get out there and influence people's thoughts, or influence, entertain people in some way by just creating this message. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really exciting. What about, we talked a little bit about where the idea came from. We talked about how it's transitioned from recording, bands in your basement to what it is today, which is video production and for live events and for outdoor advertising. What can we talk or where can you provide some value in terms of how you landed your first client for what we now know as Rabbit Hole Creative?
Well, the first big client we landed was Paramore, and like I said, it came through a guy named Ken Gay, who's been one of my biggest clients and a mentor at the same time. So we were he gave us some opportunity to work out of his space. I got invited to a party that he was having at his one of his old office, and get in there, and so he actually started giving us the back room of his office to work out of. So I'm going in there every day, and I think I was 19 or 20 at the time, and kind of nervous as hell, because this guy's, working with, the Super Bowl and all these humongous clients, and I'm just this kid in the back room, like trying not to let off that I'm really just doing these like senior recitals to make money on the side. And so it was kind of met him through that, and eventually one day he just brought us in the office. He's like, "Hey, so we have this act Paramore coming up, and they need some young guys to design content for them," because all the people that he knew were a bit older in the industry, and Paramore, they're all, 19, 20, 21 years old. And so they wanted someone young to design it. And so it was really scary, because at the time we hadn't done too much of it yet. We knew we were capable of pulling it off. And so he gave us the opportunity. We had a few months' notice, so we really dove into learning everything we could about it. And he kind of mentored us through that process of working with an artist, what it's like, how you kind of handle it, and facilitated a lot of that communication on the first round. And it was really to help get us going. And that helped us out a lot at the first point, having him there to do that. And it's been a good relationship, and learning a lot about this industry ever since working with him. So,
Yeah, so how did you get connected with Ken?
had a friend that invited me to that party he first had out at his place. So he just had a big mixer, kind of an industry party, to try to get a bunch of people out there and just kind of build a buzz around what he was doing in Nashville. And fortunately, got invited by a mutual friend, and that was that. So,
I mean, you say that was that. That's a little too simple. It seems like you were there, and that's amazing that you somehow ended up there. Sounds like a good party. I'm kind of upset you didn't invite me, but what how did the relationship progress from acquaintance to I'm giving you and I'm mentoring you and I'm giving you an opportunity to shine with a band that has a bunch of, you know, at least one number one hit?
It was it started off, I mean, I guess it started at that I mean, I met him there and just kind of we talked for a bit there, and he saw that we were these young guys, and I think then we ended up meeting up with him again after that and talked a bit more, and he was trying to create this whole collaborative space where, you know, there's several companies working out that could all benefit each other. So he gave us, you know, the back room to start working out of, and honestly, we still didn't know too much about each other then, but he saw that we were some young, talented guys that were trying to start something. And he just let us work out of that back room for a while, and just kind of started to slowly get to know him more and more to then. And, you know, then eventually they let us on for the first job, and we went through and executed on that, and the relationship just kind of kept growing from there. So.
Gotcha. So you went to that first party, you made an acquaintance, and you started building a relationship from there in terms of, you know, you saw him again, they finally got invited into his office space, and then you did a small job for him, and then as he grew to know you, he trusted you more, it sounded like.
Yeah,
Which is really
definitely.
interesting because, again, it sounds a little bit like luck, but again, you had to go. You had to know the person. You had to make the effort to actually attend to be in the right position at the right time to meet this guy who then opens it up, teaches you all the stuff, and connects you with some clients.
I mean, there's luck, but at the same time, you know, it's always putting yourself in opportunities to, you know, reach that next level. If you don't give yourself the opportunity, then you don't have the luck of meeting the person, I guess. So, you know, you know, there's so many obstacles that could have prevented me from being able to go that night and you meet him, or, but, you know, who's to say, you know, that wouldn't found another way to, you know, connect. So I think it's just always being out there building your network and just building relationships. I think that's been a really large part of our success, is just having a lot of relationships and keeping people close.
Yeah, it seems like it's twofold. It's knowing where you want to go. So you knew that you're passionate about music and technology, and then putting yourself in the position, like you say, to build the relationships, even though you weren't exactly sure as you went all along what you wanted to do. So that's an interesting piece. So you talked a little bit about Ken. Is there any are there any examples we can talk about of clients where you can talk about what you learned that maybe weren't Ken referrals or Ken's referrals?
I mean, we've had just a lot of other projects that have kind of come through. I mean, even like the Cirque du Soleil one was just a lot of that was honestly through a lot of internet. That I found that one through a you know, a technology trade website. You know, it's kind of like a social media forum for people in the production world. So, you know, I'm always an advocate of trying to stay out there and just try to find. There's always so many means for people to connect with each other now through the internet, and trying to stay up on LinkedIn and everything along those lines. Those have been also been really great tools in helping us, you know, connect with people and find new projects to work on.
Gotcha. So how did you know, you say you found the Cirque du Soleil through the forum. How did you actually, you know, get the deal done?
I mean, it was we had done a projection mapping project in the past, and saw a posting on one of the forums that they were looking for someone that knew how to do projection mapping, and posted our project on there. Led to a phone call. Phone call led to a few phone calls, which led to, you know, a business trip where we met each other, and next thing we knew, we were working on a project together. So,
Gotcha. You make it sound so simple, but I mean, to the viewers out there, it's something that they could replicate as long as they, like you say, find where they can provide value, find a service that they're good at, that maybe is their superpower, and then put themselves in the position, like you're saying, at the events for the networking, on the forums for the industry-related events and news, and then, you know, be out there and be known. It's something that even though you say, you know, well, we found them on the forum, one phone call, business trip, boom, done. That's actually something that can be replicated because you can take the fact that you actually were looking for the business, the fact that you're proactive and you knew what they needed to see, which was an example of what you'd already done.
And I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm always out there kind of looking for new projects, trying to find ways, you know, fun new stuff to work on. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the team that I have that's able to put together all these amazing projects and able to pull off these insane technical feats. They are the ones that are actually, you know, doing the crazy work and the innovators behind figuring out how to do all of this. and having them there to be able to pull off anything that we can throw at them, you know, that's they're the team that actually makes the product, and then, you know, we just I'm able to go out there, show it to people, and find people that are interested in working with it. So, and when you're passionate about something, and you really, I'm not going out there trying to sell something to people. I'm going out there because what we do, I know is a huge value and can benefit people and can be some awesomely fun project to work on. So, you know, when you're passionate behind it and you're not out there just trying to make sales or something, that's, you know, that goes a long way, and people see that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Your passion's a bit infectious. They start to see, okay, well, this guy really likes it, and you're probably a little bit different than most salespeople out there that might be working for a company. So that makes a lot of sense. What about when you started hiring? So, you know, you found your business partner after or while in Belmont, and you started doing some gigs together. Now you're up to, I think you said, 5 full-time employees. Correct. What was the first person you hired, and how did that happen?
The first person we hired was a guy named Dylan, and we hired him actually because we needed to have someone that could take over a lot of the production so that we could graduate. So we were in our last semester of school. It would have been January of this year, and we knew that there was no way that we were going to be able to balance doing all these projects, going to school, finishing up all our graduation requirements. And so we hired Dylan basically to help us get through that last semester. And then he basically got to the point where he was doing a lot of the production stuff. We were able to pass a lot of that off onto him. Our second hire came probably about a month after we graduated with, and it was a guy that he was basically, his name is Mark, and he does our project managing and our bookkeeping. And we knew that we needed an organized person on the team that could actually keep all his creative people in line. And he had been working with us and doing our books, and it was honestly to the point where he was probably in the office at least 25 hours a week already, and was almost making what, you know, his salary is anyway, just in his hourly rate. And so we were just like, you know, we might as well just, you know, put you on full time so that you're here around here all the time. You can always be managing projects. And so at that point, he was able to quit the other stuff he was doing, came on with us full time, and that was a huge step because that helped get everything a lot more organized once we brought him on board. And I think that's a big step a lot of companies don't know to take. Immediately assume that all the people that they're going to bring on are going to be, you know, people that are directly billable to the client or directly, you know, directly creating the product. But when you have someone there that's just there for organization, suddenly everything and everyone becomes way more efficient. That's a really big step.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you brought in that project manager to keep you online, like you say, and make sure that you actually are using, maybe offloading some admin tasks onto him, but also making sure that you all are using your time effectively and getting projects done on time, I would assume. What about when you hired, how did you even find Dylan, first of all?
Dylan was honestly, he was another guy that we went to school with.
Okay.
He had worked with us as a camera operator before. So we had worked with him on several projects, and he was graduating a semester earlier than us, and we had worked with him quite a bit and knew that he would be a good fit to the team. And so we know we brought him on board, and you know, it's as easy as that. And he was graduating a semester early, and it just worked. It made sense. So.
So it seems like you started out of necessity, needed to graduate for some reason.
Yeah.
And then you remembered you had Dylan. So again, the network coming to play here. How did you find the project manager?
Mark had also worked with us for quite a bit. He honestly worked with us from day one and just some sense on all the projects, whether that was audio or anything. And eventually he kind of got to the point where he started taking over the books. You know, he had a really strong background in like accounting and everything. So he learned how to do QuickBooks and do all the bookkeeping and deal with that, and started to get to the point where he was doing all the invoicing. And I just kept handing more and more things that were bogging me down to him, and he was doing great at it. So the more we just kept handing them to him, the more it worked out. And eventually, you know, we just realized, you know, he was working with us, you know, like 25 hours a week, and we said, you know, it's time that we just bring you on full time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But also, that's a key point for all the viewers out there. It's when you're in that phase where you need someone, but you don't need someone full time. Excuse me. An independent contractor is an option to bring on, and then, you know, you can test your relationship with them, see if it worked, and then transition if you
Yeah, and
need to.
everyone we worked with for quite a bit as contractors prior to starting. I mean, even Amanda, who's our full-time designer now, she does design, she does 3D animation. We worked with her on 2 or 3 projects prior to her coming on full-time. And I mean, we still have a large network of probably 7 or 8 other contractors that we pull in from job to job, just depending on what it is. And some of them won't make sense to bring on full-time, and some of them are potential hires in the future.
Gotcha. It makes a lot of sense. So again, in this little short mini series that we have, we want to talk about where the idea came from, how you transitioned from an idea to a business, where the first sales came from. We talked about first hires. What about another thing that we want to focus on is giving people a realistic picture of what it's like to start a business. We talk about or we joke about how business books are written by really successful people, and the things that they share in the business books, they often gloss over the fact that sometimes it's really hard. So I want to give people a realistic picture, so when they go through something that's really hard, they realize they're not the only one, that this is the journey or the path that most entrepreneurs take. So can you tell us early on what was maybe the hardest thing you had to face when getting started?
Yeah, I mean, early on, it's really tough because you work nonstop. You're working around the clock a lot of times. You're doing projects, especially in the design field. You'll be doing projects that you're not getting paid adequately for, but you know it's an opportunity to show off what you can do. And so there's a lot of just, doing jobs for hardly anything to get to the next level. And one of my mentors, George Flanagan, he gave me the advice of, when you take a job, there's 3 things, either are you going to make money from this job? Is it going to lead to other jobs? Or are you going to learn from it and have something to show for with it? And those are 3 really good key pieces of advice that we got early on. But I mean, it is rough, and it was a lot of sleepless nights, and we still have sleepless nights. but I mean, early on, whenever before. You're able to eventually bring on a team of people. It's all on your shoulders, and you're sitting there running from trying to do the books, try to invoice the clients, try to do the animation. And there was projects early on where I just remember all day sitting there emailing back and forth with the client, trying to get details figured out, trying to get approvals, trying to go over invoicing, contracts, dealing with all that. And then I would stay up all night actually doing the animation on it because I couldn't focus on it during the day because I was actually emailing with the client. So pretty much I had to work around the clock, and I would sleep between the hours of like 4 a.m. and about 9 a.m. And so, I mean, those were you go through periods like that early on where you are just your everything's on your plate, and you're trying to wear so many hats, and it's really painstaking. But if you can work your way through that, and eventually you just look at, you eventually look at what do I hate doing here, what is bogging me down and just draining the life out of me. And those are the jobs that you look to fill first. For me, at first, that was books, and that was doing every bit of production. And so finding people to fill those roles was a really key part because it allowed me to focus more on building the business.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. It seems like something that most of our viewers can learn from in terms of the way you started. So you started, you were doing everything, but you started transitioning away, handing off the pieces of work that you hated or were bogging you down.
Yeah, because the things that you hate, someone else will like to do. But it blows my mind that people enjoy doing taxes and bookkeeping, but they like to do it. So,
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird. I think most of our
yeah.
viewers can relate to that. Why? Anyways, we'll leave it at that. Anything else we can learn from kind of, or any encouragement you can provide our viewers when they're going through a similarly trying time?
I think, I mean, there's a lot of obstacles you have to overcome. There's a lot of adversity and just a lot that you just have to. It takes a lot, and it's more than just building a company. It's building yourself as an individual, growing who you are as a person. You constantly have to be working on your self-development, working on growing your personal skill set and everything. And if you think that you're just going to start a company with how you are today and it's going to grow. That's not the truth because you have to constantly commit yourself to constant growth and constant improvement, and that's how you grow a company and constantly get to the next level. If you're satisfied for where you're at, then you'll never, move from where you're at. You'll just be staying in the same spot. So it's just about having that ambition to constantly grow and improve.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway. What has changed since you even the early days of what we now know as Rabbit Hole Creative. What's kind of changed in terms of your expectation, your vision, how you thought it would be?
It's just, it's really weird. 'Cause I mean, initially, I guess when we started this, you know, like I said, I never thought we'd be here, you know, mapping the insides of buildings and creating advertisements and putting content out with all these tours. You know, we started off thinking we're going to do concert shoots. So, I mean, it changed drastically, but I think it's always kind of adapting to what the market needs. Some people, when they start companies, they have this vision that this is what the business is going to be and this is what it's going to do, but they don't really know what the industry wants. And I think the first few years that you're in a business, you should try to toy around with that industry as much as possible, try things out and see what works. Because you never know what the industry really, really looks for. And eventually you'll hit that opportunity where suddenly you have a value, something that people want, and that's when you know you're onto something good. But it takes a lot of trying things out to figure that out.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So come in with kind of a preconceived notion, but being willing to test it out and move from that actual gut feeling to maybe something that actually will work in the market.
Yeah, a business plan is, it's not a blueprint. It's something that you should be changing constantly, especially on those first few years.
Yes.
So I think it's always something you can grow and develop and work with.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. Let's move on to the advice section. What's kind of the what's some advice that you've taken that looking back was like was a really good move?
I think one of the things that me and my partner decided early on that just some advice I think that even just came, I think his dad told us this, was just surround yourself by good people and good things will happen. And we've tried to do that throughout this, you know, and everyone on our team is great. And all the vendors we work with, we have extremely great relationships with. And even the clients, you know, you surround yourself by people that you enjoy to be around and, you know, good things will happen. And it's a simple piece of advice, but I think it goes a long way. And it's amazing how much just having a good network around you will take you to the next level.
Gotcha. Surround yourself with good people inside the organization and outside the organizations, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. What about any piece of advice that you got early on that you disregarded that looking back you wish you had taken?
Gosh. You know, that's a hard one. I'm trying to think of, I don't know, I'm sure I've made mistakes along the way. One thing I guess that I've always been warned about was that the head of the entrepreneurship department at Belmont, Dr. Cornwall, kind of always recognized that I'm a very, I always kind of pivot my business around so much. And he would warn me about that. And I may have pivoted quite a bit too much early on. But you know, it's something that at the end of the day, you eventually settle on what's right. But he kind of warned me about that. And there might've been a few months where I got off track and was pursuing something that ended up to be a waste of time to try to pursue. But, you know, I think, and as part of it, I think, was, you know, just the focus, or, you know, focus on doing one thing right as opposed to trying to do everything. I think I heard that a million times on the way up, and it took until probably several months ago, you know, probably this summer, to start to realize that we finally figured out the one thing that we did right was incorporating live technology with, you know, video production and animation. And I think we avoided honing in on that. We just kept taking jobs that were outside of what our general scope of projects were. And it's taken us quite a while to get to that, to where we finally feel good about it. So,
gotcha. It makes a lot of sense. So you're saying one of the things that you learned was not pivot too much, because if you pivot too much, then you're not actually learning why it's not working or we're looking or maybe even spending enough time to actually make it work. It might be the point that Dr. Cornwall is talking about. And then the second part you talked about was focusing on one thing. So actually taking all these things that you could do, really honing it down into what you want to do and what you're really good at, and then going like that. But again, to be fair, it's like you're saying, you took other gigs, maybe partly out of necessity. And I think a lot of reviewers can relate to that, to where as you keep getting those gigs and keep building up, you know, some cash in the bank, then you can afford not to take those gigs and really focus on the ones you're talking about, or on the ones that you're really good at. Is there any advice you want to give to our viewers out there that we haven't talked about?
I mean, I think the end of the day just comes down to a lot of passion and just, you know, chase your dreams. And if it's something you want to do, just realize that it's going to be damn hard work. but it'll pay itself off in the end. So it's you gotta prepare to sacrifice a lot. You gotta give up a lot, and you have to you'll have a lot of long nights, but it's worth it in the end whenever you have something that you've built up and you're running it. So it is worthwhile.
Yeah, so a sense of pride and accomplishment will get you through the tough nights, and just realizing there are going to be those tough nights will also hopefully help you get through those, because you'll be able to acknowledge that other people have done it before you. If we have viewers out there that maybe want your services, or viewers out there that might want to work for your organization, how can they get in touch with you?
They can just go to rabbitholecreative.com and just either find the contact information on there, or they can just reach me at jake@rabbitholecreative.com.
All right, sounds like a good note. And a quick note to all our viewers out there, if you want to launch a business but don't know where to begin, you can check out two interviews. One with Joe Abraham, who talks about entrepreneurial DNA and finding out what type of business is right for you. And the second one is Jim Beach. And that specific interview will actually help you come up with an idea that you can even launch while keeping your day job. Jake, I really appreciate your time. Any last notes for our viewers?
I can't think of anything else.
Perfect. That's a great way to end. Jake, thanks for joining us today.
All right, thanks a lot.